Everything's looking good. We're going to start the show here in just a sec. You'll know when we do because I'll introduce us. Last week, I forgot to introduce myself. It was just you guys and the unknown guy. Hello and welcome to CultCast episode 3. We're at episode 3 already. CultCast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah. I'm here with Leander Caney, Buster Hine. Exciting week, guys. How you doing?
Pretty amazing.
Yep, pretty good.
So this week's show is obviously going to be about the iPad, the new iPad. I keep wanting to call it the iPad 3. Obviously, that's not what it's called. It's not the iPad HD. It's not the iPad 3. It's just the iPad.
The
new iPad.
Get it right.
But how long can you call it the new iPad, right? Because in 6 months, is it new still?
Until next year.
It's new. Yeah. It's new all year until the very next one is released.
The newest iPad.
The newest iPad. Yeah. Actually, I like that better. In any case, before we talk about all the new features, we're obviously going to jump into everything, talk about what we like, we don't like. What is your first impression, two or three sentences, Leander, go.
I think it looks absolutely amazing. I think it looks really, really good. There was a lot of complaints that it was just a minor upgrade, and some of the mainstream media was sort of thinking that they just tweaked it a little bit. I know what they were expecting, but you know, I think the new screen, the cameras, the faster chip adds up to a really amazing personal computing device.
Buster?
I think it's everything you could want in a tablet. I mean, what else do you want your tablet to do? They even throw in a nice camera for no reason, just to satisfy people that wanted one.
Yeah, there are definitely people who are excited and people who thought it was kind of anticlimactic. Do you guys want to know how I feel?
Please go ahead.
How I really feel?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Oh, it keeps going. All right, that's enough of that.
My God, they went on forever. I think we just lost half our listeners.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. I could have kept it going because I'm so
excited. Please don't do that again.
No promises. Let's jump into the new iPad features. Let's talk about the most obvious one first, the Retina display screen. This was something everyone was expecting. It's something that I think is the biggest feature on the new iPad. We're getting 4 times the resolution, right? So it's going to be a lot crisper. Text is going to be a lot crisper. Did you guys see the Apple iPad website that they did? Isn't it incredible?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it is. It looks great. You go, oh my God, look how clear it is. It's so razor sharp. You know, it's like it's amazing. But then you go, oh my God, am I an idiot? You know, they've set this up. You know, I mean, I read on my iPad 2 all the time, and I don't see jags. You know, I mean, it doesn't bother me. It may not be as clear as the iPad. You know, I'm sure in comparison, it's gonna look a lot better. But you know, to be honest, I don't really notice it when I'm looking at the iPad 2 anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? As soon as you start using the iPad, the new iPad, you won't use your iPad 2 at all. It won't even be worthy to use as a serving tray to people. It's gonna become totally obsolete. Just the thought of reading on your iPad 2 is gonna make you nauseous.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the kids are getting it, so that's what he decided.
I'm really excited to read on it too. I read on my iPad all the time, every day pretty much, and I also use it as a photographer to show my work to people. So that's a super, super high resolution display is one of the biggest features I'm excited about. But let me ask you guys this. There has been a small amount of controversy. So the iPhone 4 Retina display has a DPI of 326 dots per inch DPI. The new iPad is only 264 dots per square inch. So it's not nearly as high resolution as the iPhone 4, but they're still calling it Retina display. Do you think this is a big deal?
Well, they're saying that with your iPad, you don't hold it as closely to your face as you do your phone. And I think there's some credibility in that. You know, you don't have to have, you know, a 9-inch screen 10 inches from your face. You hold it more arm's distance, whereas your phone, you're kind of keeping it a little bit closer to you because that text is hard to read, you know, no matter how clear that screen is. So according to their math, if you're holding it at, I think, 15 inches, it supposedly, you still can't see the pixel.
Phil Schiller did show the equation in case you want to try and, in case you want to try and prove it. Landon, what do you think?
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of digging into this. I was looking at Discover Magazine's Bad Astronomy blog, and there's a, you know, the astrophysicist has delved into the math, and he actually did this when the iPhone 4S came out, and you know, he's got all these charts and numbers too, and he's and like Buster said, it depends on the distance you hold it away from your face, and of course having perfect eyesight. I mean, you know, there's a few factors here that come into it. I don't think anyone's going to complain that they're seeing pixels if they hold it in their lap, you know, a good 18. And it, I mean, it's twice. Buster, you know, what's the how many more pixels are there than an HD TV?
There's over 1 million pixels more, right?
Yeah, that's,
I believe,
what,
so is it 1.1 million or something?
I think
like
it's approximately 1 million, so yeah. Obviously a lot.
Right, and of course, you know, I mean, look at my HD TV across the room. Looks awesome, and it looks awesome even, you know, sort of 3 feet up to it.
Yeah, yes. That's
so
true.
I think, you know, when it's sitting in your lap, it's going to be a really amazing screen. It's going to be much more better resolution than even, you know, the fanciest HD TV.
Yeah, that's true. And I think most people are going to hold it far away from their face. But, you know, at night when I've got my lady sleeping beside me and I'm reading by the light of my iPad, I have to hold it close to my face because I have the screen really dim. So that, you know, it doesn't light up the whole room. And I'm like, man, I have my iPad closer to my face than 15 inches all the time. A lot of times when I read it at night, it is closer than 15 inches. So I'm a little curious to see how this plays out in real life situations. Buster, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just wondering how HD movies are going to look. Are they going to look stretched out? Because, you know, those are 1080p videos and then you have the screen, it's bigger than that. So you're going to be adjusting those images to be larger than they're supposed to be. So how is video going to look? Is it, you know, going to be super awesome, or is it going to look a little bit wonky because of that? That's what I was a little bit curious to see.
It's going to look like analog TV looks like on an HD TV.
It's
going to be a little thumbnail right in the middle of the iPad that you get to watch. You're going to have to wear a monocle.
Are they going to include the sidebars and stuff that some
top
people
bars,
do, or what?
Sidebars. Yeah, who knows? So once we get this thing on March 16th, we're going to find out a whole lot more when we actually get to use it. But let's move on to some of the other new features. I was a nay on this in our yay or nay feature last week when we talked about iPad features. I was like, there's no way we're going to see LTE
in
the iPad. I was 100% wrong. So we have LTE iPads now. I was really shocked by this. Are you guys surprised they included LTE?
No, I'm surprised. And Leander voted yay.
Yeah, I know, but Leander says lots of things.
Yeah, me and Buster on the right side of that one. I was really
you guys got lucky. I don't know if you actually felt that way.
No, it's
logical.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's going to be a big selling point. I think, you know, it's there was some speculation that the Android tabs aren't going to be able to catch up with LTE for quite a long time because it's not just getting the LTE chips, but also the power management.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, being able to, because they're pretty power hungry chips still. And so I was reading somewhere they were saying that they didn't think that the competitors would be able to match that sort of engineering that Apple has with the big, you know, with the big bright screen and the LTE chips and the faster chip.
Well, I think that's a great point because not only was Apple able to pull off the great battery life, but they only had to do it for one device. Android supports how many devices? You know, how do you fine tune your OS when it has to run 100 different devices? I mean, I'm sure Apple was shaving off, you know, minutes or adding minutes to the battery life for every little different tweak that they did.
Yeah, you know, I think it's more of a hardware problem because I mean, there's plenty of LTE smartphones out now and they're getting battery life, you know, 20 minutes if you have LTE turned on. So I mean, they were complaining, what was it, the Motorola, one of the new Motorolas, they were complaining that it only lasts a couple of hours.
That's that's how my Galaxy Nexus is. I've been reviewing it for the last couple of weeks, and like the battery life on it is terrible. Like, it's a cool phone, but it's got the LTE chip and everything, and It's like the battery just dies really quickly whenever I'm using it.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, Leander.
They had the same, you know, there was when 3G came out, they weren't up, you know, the iPhone wasn't the first 3G phone. In fact, I think it didn't even when did it jump to 3G? I mean, the 3GS, but that was a good year after the 3G network started to roll out, right?
Right.
Yeah. They waited a year or two for jumping on that wagon for that exact reason was what they couldn't do the battery life. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, along with the LTE, so you get the super fast, you know, next generation mobile technology, is the ability to tether. Now, I had the freaking iPad in my basket, in my shopping cart. I was about to hit the checkout button, and I saw Cultomac tweet that now you're going to be able to tether with your iPad. And I had spent the last 20 minutes before my order wondering if I should go LTE or not. And damn it, that put me over the edge. So I went back. And Apple's website kept crashing every 2 minutes, and I deleted it from my cart and re-added the LTE version iPad. And I'm with AT&T, but I actually ordered the Verizon version because
me too.
You did too, yeah. Buster, did you order one?
I ordered one, and I was gonna go LTE, but it was the data pricing that actually threw me back over to Wi-Fi. I thought it was kind of astronomical.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And you know, I'm probably not going to use it nearly as much as I think I am. But you know, when we were in Las Vegas, the only person out of all of us that had the ability to use their iPhone was John Brownlee, who's on Verizon.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And which is ironic because it's like the person with the worst stuff to say is the only one that can say anything. I'm kidding, John. I love what you have to say. Talk to me. So that's why I went Verizon, and I really don't like Verizon as a company. AT&T is obviously not great either. But then I was surprised. We put out a story today that said actually Verizon's the only company that's going to allow you to tether, right? AT&T is not allowing it.
Yeah, AT&T, they'll do anything to milk customers for a little bit extra money.
That's, oh my gosh, seriously.
I feel like they're worse than Verizon personally. I mean, neither company is good, but I just... AT&T, I just always get a bad feeling with them. They're just like that uncle that's wanting to molest you. And looking at you all creepily.
That's a little creepy.
They got those black rooms or the NSA spy rooms, you know.
seriously do, where they're feeding your information to the government.
Right. No.
So let's talk... Let's talk about the new chip, the A5X. So we had talked about last week whether it was going to have an A6, A5X, and we got an A5X. I was surprised by this. Were you guys yay or nay on the A6?
We said A6 with a quad-core processor.
Okay.
So,
and what we got was an A5X with a quad-core processor. Right?
Well, it's a graphic quad-core. It's not like it's not a quad-core processor in the truest sense. So... It's kind of somewhere in between what we were hoping they would come out with.
So one of the things I'm wondering then is, I wonder if the iPad, the new iPad, I keep wanting to call it the damn iPad 3, is going to be faster, or if it's just with the chip that's meant to handle the Retina display graphics, if it's just going to be the same speed, but it's just going to have better graphics. What do you guys think? Leander.
I think...
Buster. Buster.
I think go first, because then I could just agree with what I've been said.
Well, then you'd both be wrong.
You know, marginally faster, but nothing crazy. How much faster can it get?
Yeah, and it's not slow anyway, is it? I mean,
it really isn't. I mean, I don't even think the iPad 1 was slow. It's not slow now. The iPad 2 is definitely not slow.
But they were showing in the demo, the event yesterday. I mean, those amazing graphics for the Infinity Blade and that other game, whatever it was called.
The jet game, right?
And you could see it stagger a couple of times. And, you know, I guess, I'm hoping that was because it was, you know, some beta code that the developers were running.
Oh, man, that would be really bad if the iPad couldn't even handle the additional graphics processing. That was happening.
Yeah, I'm hoping they got it right. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, I hope so too. I play games on my iPad all the time, and playing games in Retina quality graphics is going to be amazing. So, other iPad features that are worth mentioning. What do you guys think?
Well, the cameras.
I guess the camera. Yeah.
Yeah, the camera is really cool.
Camera's awesome. You say you don't use it right now, but my kids use it all the time. I mean, they took the iPad too, and they use it to film themselves. You know, like we've got all these cameras lying around, and that's the one they go to. That's their go-to camera because the big viewfinder, and it's such a lot of fun to use it to do videos. And then we downloaded the new iMovie app last night, and we were playing around. We were making movie trailers, and in 5 minutes, we had a great trailer, you know, up and running. We did AirPlay onto the Apple TV, and we were laughing our heads off.
Wow.
And tweaking it there. And it's great. And you know, iMovie, you can do regular video editing on it too. And it's a great way to edit video footage. It's much better than doing it on a desktop.
Yeah. And you know what? It's definitely better than doing it on an iPhone. And it's ironic that I forgot about mentioning the camera, because I'm the one that put out the piece about why the camera is going to change the way you document your life on our site yesterday. Right. And you know, I kind of got some heat for that, because everyone was like, they were thinking about it from the perspective of people like us, right? Who we're real tech savvy. We already have all these devices that we use. And one guy was like, "There's no way I'm going to get rid of my SLR and use the iPad." And I'm a photographer. I have SLRs. I have more than one. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to get rid of my SLR either. It's ridiculous to think that you would do that, but it's going to make videos, making videos, sharing videos, taking photos, sharing photos accessible to a whole slew of people who don't have iPhones. They don't have smartphones. A lot of kids don't have a cell phone, period. My parents don't have cell phones. They've never had cell phones. And my mom has an iPad, and for the first time ever, we were able to text message each other with Apple's Messages app. So she finds it easy to use. And I think that's a common, you know, common theme. And now my mom is going to have the ability to make movies. She's going to be able to take photos, and she's going to be able to easily share those with me through iMessages or whatever. Right. And I think that's where really it's going to be a revolution. I mean, you're going to see people who never have the ability to do those types of things all of a sudden be able to do those things.
Right, absolutely. It's having all it's not only capturing the images, it's editing the images and then sharing them. It has, you know, all three steps in one super easy to use device.
Exactly. And super easy, I think, is key, because my mom has had a point and shoot for, you know, 5 years. But you know what? She takes pictures on it. She doesn't know how to get the pictures off. She doesn't know what to do. She looks at the pictures on her camera, and she gives me the camera, and she's like, "Can you get these pictures off for me?" You know, and I'm like, she doesn't know what to do with this thing. It takes photos well, but it's archaic to use. So the iPad, it's like she opens up iMessages. She can very easily send me a photo, and now all of a sudden, it's like the complete cycle, right? Like, you actually get to do something with those photos that you took.
Right.
So the camera is a really big deal, and the camera's obviously been upgraded quite a bit. You have the 4S inspired camera. It's only 5 megapixels, but it uses the same lens. It has the infrared filter for higher quality daylight photos, crisper colors. It has the backside illuminated sensor, which means it's going to be better for low light photos, better for photos in general, because it's going to be better at collecting light. And the photo sensor actually looks bigger to me. I don't know if it is or not, but if that's true, that also is going to increase its photo abilities. So huge, huge, huge upgrade. And I think between LTE, Retina display, and the new camera, I mean, would you guys recommend somebody who had an iPad 2 to upgrade? I definitely would. Buster.
Sure.
Enthusiastic. Actually, you don't have an iPad 2, though, right? So
I do. Well, I sold mine the day before the event was happened.
Well, Leander, if you had somebody with an iPad to ask you if it was worth upgrading, what would you say?
Yeah, tricky. I was thinking, I was, you know, really wrestling with this, tossing and turning last night in bed. My mom.
Wow, you really take it seriously.
Well, I knew this question was coming up, so. Uh-huh. My mom wanted an iPad, and we got a refurbished iPad too, because she didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Did you just get her one of those, or was that before?
No, got it today. So
okay,
just,
and nice. We should quickly mention the iPad 2, the 16 GB iPad 2s are now $399, and the refurbished ones are only $350, right?
Right. Yeah. And then she got, so it's $350, which I think is an awesome price.
Oh my gosh, it's dirt cheap. I paid with tax $660 for my iPad 3 or iPad 2.
Yeah.
Anyway, so upgrading. So would you recommend someone upgrade?
For a lot of people, I think, yeah, it's a great upgrade. I'm definitely, you know, I'm upgrading. Everyone I know is upgrading. Everyone I know who's got one wants to upgrade. I mean, everyone wants to have all those, you know, the awesome camera and the great screen and the LTE, you know, the 4G. So yeah, you know, it's a great upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, I'm upgrading, and people are like, oh, well, you talk about this stuff, you need to upgrade, and that's true. But honestly, if it wasn't really worth upgrading, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think the Retina display alone is worth upgrading. I mean, they're not charging you any more for this screen that is 1,000 times more amazing than the iPad 2 screen, which was already a very good IPS screen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would have no problem recommending anyone upgrade. If you're considering upgrading from an iPad 1, it's a no-brainer. From an iPad 2, do it, especially because your iPad 2 still has value. You can sell your iPad 2 for $200-$400. And then the price to upgrade is only like, you know, $100 to $200. It's like, you know, it just makes sense to me.
Yep.
One last thing, one last note on the iPad before we should move on. And that is, I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but the availability date is March 16th, which is a week after they announced it. You guys remember when they released them last year at South by Southwest? They had the pop-up shop. People were clamoring for each other, over each other to get this thing. And it was sold out for, what, 3-4 weeks? You couldn't get it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple's obviously much more prepared this time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is
They're
rolling it out worldwide. Did you see the number of countries it's going to be available in?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
There was a long, long, long list. Yeah, even like Latvia and other Mongolia.
Those Mongolians, they love having their iPads.
Countries you don't care about are getting the iPad.
Hey, I care very greatly about Latvia. I've been there. I haven't been to Mongolia. It's on my list, though. But did you guys read any of those articles about how Apple was using so much of the shipping capacity the airlines had that the price of shipping had risen like 20% and no one could ship anything anywhere? Because Apple has every airplane in the world filled with iPads sending these things all over the place. I mean, to be able to announce something and a week later to be able to ship, I mean, how many millions of these things do you guys think they're going to ship? They're at least going to ship 1 or 2 million, I would imagine.
1 or 2 million? Yeah, that's into tens of millions.
You think they're going to ship tens of millions?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if they sell, what? How many iPhones did they sell? 39 million? So, I mean, they'll be selling more than they sold iPhones the last quarter. And they didn't have to change anything with the manufacturing process, just like they didn't have to change anything with the iPhone 4S. So that's why they're able to meet that demand right away, I think, is part of it.
Huh. Interesting. Well, yeah. Hey, let's move on.
So actually, you know, there's one thing. That's an old trick, by the way.
What?
Of getting all the air freight. Jobs did this.
He kind of pioneered it, right?
Yeah, he did this years ago. There was a fascinating story that came out just after he died. One of his executives said he was telling this anecdote about how he was talking with Jobs. They were worried about getting this product. I think it was one of the iPods into stores for Christmas, and he said, "You know, we're going to get a good rate from FedEx or whatever." And Jobs said, "Buy everything, buy the lot,
buy it all in cash, and do it now."
He thought it was really ballsy. He was like, oh my God, you know, this is kind of like, this is going to cost us tens of millions of dollars. And you know, who knows if we're going to need all this capacity. But it turned out to be a great move because it locked out everybody else. They couldn't get all their products in the stores for the holidays. And he killed it.
Yeah, now they're doing it again. And everyone's scratching their head on why their shipping price just went up 20 to 30%.
Yeah.
He's doing it from his spot in heaven. Hey, we asked for user comments, user questions about the iPad, and we got a pretty good response. People were replying to us on Twitter and on our website. I wanted to go through and read some of their comments and questions, and we can answer those if they have questions. And the first one's actually very, very relevant to the conversation. James M., he commented on Call to Mac, and he said, why didn't they put Siri on the new iPad? The dictation functionality seems halfway there. And what he's referring to is the fact that you can dictate to your iPhone just like you can or to your iPad just like you can on the iPhone 4S, but there's no Siri functionality. I was surprised. This is probably the biggest thing I was surprised about, that we didn't see Siri on the new iPad. Buster, why do you think that is?
I wasn't surprised. John Brownlee actually wrote about this a couple months ago, and the reason behind that is the iPad doesn't have a dedicated internet connection all of the time, even with like the 4G model. It's not like your cell phone where it's always trying to be connected to a cellular network. And so what happens when a user is trying to use that and it's basically like broken, and they, when you try to use Siri and you can't connect to the network, it's really frustrating. And so I think it would just ruin the experience. part of it, and people would be frustrated with it.
You know, that's actually a really good point. I had never thought about that before. You know, one of the things I noticed when I switched from my old iPhone to the new one is the fact that when I wanted to use voice controls, it always needed to connect to the network all of a sudden. So if the iPad needs to connect to the network in order to use Siri, so basically it takes that voice dictation, transfers it to Apple servers, they do some calculations and send it back to your phone with instructions, I'm assuming, on what to do with it. Does that mean we'll never see Siri on the iPad, Leander?
If that's the reason, that's the logical conclusion.
Do you have any other insight on why they may not have put Siri on the iPad,
Leander? My initial thought was that it was because it was beta and they're already having enough. They're having enough problems on the iPhone 4S. Why add,
a couple hundred million more people using it?
Right.
It would crash the servers all the time.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Siri is definitely having its share of problems. Wow, you know, I'd never thought about that before. If indeed that the problem is the network issue, then truly, yeah, we will never see Siri on the iPad.
Well, what they could do is
which would be bizarre, don't you think?
Well, I think what they would do is they would say that Siri is currently unavailable. So it would test to see if you have a connection. Yeah. And if you do, then, okay, you can use Siri. If not, you know, Siri's taking a nap.
Oh, yeah. So if you're connected to Wi-Fi, then it would work.
Right.
Yeah.
Or 4G, but yeah.
Gotcha. Right. Huh,
I think it's probably a combination of both of those things.
Okay. Let's move on to Cale Johnson's comment. He commented on Call to Mac. He says, I have heard some people complaining that the new iPad, about the name, the new iPad, but also heard someone say that this hints at a device like an iPad mini. Thoughts? So basically he's saying they're changing it to the new iPad because they think they're going to release an iPad mini. Do you guys think we're going to see an iPad mini, Buster?
Nope. I mean, there was a rumor that somebody's producing the screens for it already, but until I see Apple announce it, I'm not going to put too much weight into those rumors. And I don't think they changed the name to the iPad just so they could call it the iPad mini.
Yeah. The logic of, reading what tea leaves did he see in that, you know, to lead him to that conclusion. They already have an iPad mini. It's called the iPod Touch.
Yeah.
This is what Apple does. I mean, you know, this, the iMac, the MacBook, they didn't call, you know, how many generations of iMacs are we on now? Like a dozen or more?
Ninth or tenth, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't call it the iMac 10, it's just the iMac, and no one has any trouble with going into the store or getting a new iMac. This is exactly what Apple's been doing forever. And I think, in fact, you know, numbering the products was an anomaly.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about that with the iPad too, that it was weird that, you know, they have the iPhone 4 and then the iPad 2, and they just really stood out as these weird detractions from what they normally do for naming devices.
Yeah, you know, I was hot for a while on the possibility of the fact that we were going to see an iPad mini. I don't think we will. You know, it just doesn't make sense, and Apple really doesn't like messing with developers when they have their applications set to specific dimensions, as they do with the iPhone 4 and the iPad. I think they're going to leave it alone. It could be a very cool device. I mean, some people think they need to compete with the Kindle. I personally don't think that. The Kindle's a totally separate market. I don't think people would buy a Kindle or an iPad, even though they're closer in price now that the iPad is $400, but still. Let me see here. So, Serpt... is his name from called the Mac, said, how will you protect your iPad 3, a smart cover, a back protector? So he's talking about the new iPad. So do you guys use cases for your iPad? I should say, Leander, do you use a case for your iPad?
I have the magnetic front cover.
Oh, you do? So you have the smart cover?
Yeah, but it's kind of wrecked the side, and it keeps falling off, and the kids keep taking it off. So, and I'm kind of like, well, whatever. You know, I don't really use it that much.
Yeah, sorry, I hate the smart cover personally. I think, I don't know, I just, it doesn't really fit, like when you're using the device and you flip it around, it doesn't sit flush with the back of it. I've used cases like the Dodo case, which is pretty cool, but those broke on me. So I just used Ghost Armor on my iPad 2, and that worked pretty well.
What is it, Buster?
Ghost Armor, you know, like those kiosks at the mall that are
It's this like invisible thing this guy sold them out of the trunk of his car. Cost him $50.
Yeah, right. He's like, oh, cool. I can't even
yeah,
see
Yeah, but
it.
Everyone else around him had one. So Bus was like, here's my $50. Hope it works.
Ghost Tom, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've never been a case fan. I prefer a naked iPhone. I don't use a case on it. And I had that same philosophy for my iPad until one day, as careful as I am, I dropped it and it landed on its face and put a giant scratch in the screen, and I just about cried. But thankfully, it actually had a problem with it, so I took it to Apple, and they just gave me a brand new one. And from that day forward, I always use a case. And the one I love is called the oh my gosh, I can't read this. It's a leather iPad case. And
this is some kind of paper motion. Are you getting paid to say this?
You know what's funny is I'm looking at it on Amazon, and when I look at the order, it tells me the name, but once I actually click and go onto the webpage, the name disappears. It's called the Toblino 2, T-O-B-L-I-N-O 2, and it's a leather iPad case. It's kind of like a small, very like a slim binder, and you just snap your iPad into it, and then it has the magnets in the cover, so it wakes up your iPad whenever you open the cover. And the cool thing is that you can bend it into the shape of a stand. So it's like a stand and a cover all in one. And I love it. It's only $25 on Amazon right now. It works perfectly like when you're traveling, because you could set it on the little flip down table that you get in front of your airline chair. And I always used to take my laptop with me, but your laptop weighs like, you know, 5 or 6 pounds. Plus, when the jerk in front of you decides to tilt his chair back, it like sandwiches your laptop between the chair and the table. So the Toblino is perfect. So if you're looking for a case, I highly recommend that one.
Don't you feel like some kind of executive jerk, though, carrying this thing around?
Yeah, but I feel like a jerk no matter what. At least now I seem fancy. Let's move on. At Meet Dennis from Twitter had a question for us. And he said, now that the iPad is on an LTE network, will we finally see FaceTime calls over 4G? I think it's about time for this. This is an interesting question, you know. So now all of a sudden we have this fancy schmancy new network we get access to. Do you guys think we're going to see FaceTime over the air?
I don't think the carriers want that to happen because it would take up a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah, but the carriers didn't want iMessage to happen either.
Yeah.
I say yay on Verizon, so. Nay on AT&T.
Yeah, I think that's actually – I'm going right there with you. I'm going to go yay on it, at least for Verizon, which I never thought I would say.
Yeah, and on Sprint, I mean, my God, it's, you know, whatever you want.
They're gonna enable it, but it's never going to work. It's only going to work at like 5 a.m. And that's the only time you're actually going to be able to get enough signal to have it work. Another question, T-Hoge101 from Twitter. He said, what do you think about Apple's lack of accessories at yesterday's keynote? And he's talking about the iPad, of course.
I think who the heck wants to listen to Tim Cook or Phil Schiller talk about accessories for 15 minutes? I mean,
I do. I listen to Tim Cook talk about anything.
See, I'm more of a Bob Mansfield fan.
Yeah.
So if he was talking about it, I'd be all over it.
But, you know, I got to say, I think like losing Steve Jobs, the keynote was a little less fabulous. You know, it just wasn't like Steve Jobs had so much charisma. I really felt I thought that Tim Cook did a good job, but I definitely felt it was lacking. Would you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I thought Tim Cook was, I don't know, I thought he did a good job, and I just felt like he was doing his very best Steve Jobs impression, and that somebody meticulously went over with him.
He comes out in a turtleneck and jeans.
he did like a lot of the same gestures Steve would do. He put a lot of the same emphasis on the same type of words. He did like the whole like holding your two hands in the pray motion while you're walking across the stage.
Oh,
and
two hand
and
pray like, motion is one of my favorite this? Jobs like, move. I was like, he didn't use the pray motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought he was kind of doing his own thing, but you could definitely tell his performance was inspired by Steve Jobs for sure. But, you know, no one's going to be Steve Jobs. I mean, Steve Jobs, his presentation felt so authentic, and I think that was because he started the company. And I felt like Tim Cook, I agree with you, Buster, I felt like he was trying to be authentic instead of just being authentic. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't think he was trying to be. I just thought he was trying to be Steve Jobs because that's who, you know, everybody's like, oh, crap. If he is completely himself, then they'll be like, oh, this is Steve is totally gone now and we're screwed.
Somebody in the audience just goes, boring.
Well, you go from one of the most charismatic, men in American business to one of the least charismatic.
Yeah.
It's an awful. It's a really bad, the poor man has huge shoes to fill.
He does. And I mean, he's got a good personality, though. But Bill Shiller should really just lead it, though, because he's got the best on-stage presence.
You could definitely tell that he was faking it because he was like he was really trying to be enthusiastic. Oh my God, it's amazing.
He was.
Well, that was like completely, he was sort of hitting his marks. He'd been practicing this for weeks with his media trainer.
And yeah. Was,
oh, come on, really get excited at this point. And so you could tell he was doing that. You know who they should get? Johnny Ive.
Yeah, I would love that.
You know what? I was saying that in a conversation to you guys a while ago, and I swear you guys made fun of me.
No way.
Yeah, because I totally agree. Johnny Ive should have been on that stage talking.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah,
the way he says aluminum alone is
that alone would make me pay more for it.
You mean aluminium?
Aluminium, yeah. Right? Yeah. Wait, guys, we're out of time, but before we wrap up, we definitely should give at least some talk about the new Apple TV that Apple released yesterday. It includes 1080p playback functionality, right? A totally brand new redesigned UI. Were there any other features that you guys read about that you were excited about or thought were worth mentioning?
Not really. It didn't get a huge update, but I think it's definitely a great device for $100.
Oh, I'm totally going to buy one. Leander, what do you think? Because I know you use your Apple TV quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. We're using it all the time now, especially with AirPlay. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, I don't think my crappy old HD TV even does 1080p. I think it's a 720p device. So, I'm like, well, whatever. And of course, you couldn't get 1080. They just upgraded the iTunes to 1080p video, right? So they didn't. Anyway, what am I talking about?
No, that's true.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, so now you can get 1080p content and watch 1080p content on your Apple TV, which is really cool. But if you don't have a 1080p television, it doesn't really help your cause much. But of course, you get the brand new revamped UI. And
you get that on the old one too.
Oh, you do. Oh, so that's just an OS update. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Leander.
The old interface was better, I thought. I don't like the new one. And I'm not that kind of Luddite that, doesn't like new things.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you are.
You resist change.
Me and Airfutter always have to teach you new tricks.
Yeah, like people were like, hey, I got this new one. I'm like, perfect, I'll take it. Twice the price, not sure it's going to work, I'll buy it right now.
Right. And I'll pay more, yeah.
Well, hey, guys, that wraps up our show for today. Normally, Cultcast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. In this case, it's the best 37-minute conversation. We could go on. There's lots of stuff to talk about this week. I'm really excited about the iPad, and I think that's kind of your general consensus, right, guys?
Yep.
I think the iPad, looking at it yesterday, especially when they started showing the software, I'm like, I was like, they're going on about the apps. And of course, the software is really what is going to make all the difference with this device. But, as a package, I think this is just going to go huge. They were talking about, some of the estimates were that tablets, and when they say tablets, they mean the iPad, is going to start outselling PCs by the fall next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't sooner than that. I think you look at that and you go, this is just the most perfect personal computing device ever. And at the moment, it's additive. They use a computer and they add an iPad as a secondary device. But I think, between now and next year, we're going to definitely see people using it as their primary computing device.
Yeah, I think you're true. And just one last fact, I don't know if you guys watched the keynote, you saw Tim Cook put up that bar graph showing that iPads outsold all the computers that each computer manufacturer sold worldwide total. So just think, the iPad business is twice as big as the Dell business, just as big as the HP business. That's just the iPad business. That's not even including MacBook Pros, any of the other computers. It's kind of astounding to think about. But in any case, we're out of time, guys. Hey, Buster, if I wanted to learn more about you, read the things that you had to say, where would I find you online?
You could stalk me digitally at Twitter. My handle's BST3R.
BST3R. And Leander, you are L Kaney, K-A-H-N-E-Y. Am I correct?
That's right, yeah. And I do at least one tweet a week.
One tweet a week. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, you can always follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. That's just Cult of Mac. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. This has been episode 3 of Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. We'll be back again next Thursday. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next time. Oh, hey, real quick. I'm so excited. I'm so